Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. It's so good to be together with my radio family. I so look forward to it every day. And we are going to continue right on in a message I've entitled The Dangers of Self-Reliance. And we've been looking at the life of David, where in a number of circumstances that we've looked at, primarily the event with Bathsheba and his numbering of the children of Israel, when God did not tell him to do it, we see that there are capacities that he's exercising of self-reliance, which means a reliance upon one's own efforts and abilities. To be self-reliant as an adjective, it means to have confidence in and in exercising one's own powers or judgment. That is certainly what was taking place in David's life in these scriptural examples we were looking at. But beloved, I believe the Holy Spirit allowed that in there, this very revealing and very difficult and painful time in David's life, to show us even so much more today the dangers that we can get into by taking things into our own hands. And what were his temptations? The temptations of body, obviously the temptations of Bathsheba, acquiring whatever we desire for the lust of the flesh. Also, there was temptations in the area of his soul, the pride of life, the pride that motivated him to take, and it took over 9 months for Joab to do that, to take a census of the people of Israel, at least those who were warriors, and to show and to give him confidence in terms of his military strength. And so, beloved, even though this was a sad time in the life of David, it can be a lesson to us. Let me share with you a passage from 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 15 through 16, where the beloved apostle is speaking to us today. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. But there's always, in the ways of God, there's always redemption. Even under the old covenant, God was showing that even though David had made a terrible mistake, yet God can cause good to come out of it. For example, the most recent incident we were looking at as far as sharing on this broadcast was found in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, and we see that David recognized that he had sinned greatly against the Lord. Verse 8 in chapter 21 says, David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And basically, the Lord spoke unto Gad, who was David's seer, a prophet, and he basically said, tell David, he's got three choices. He can either experience 3 years of famine, or he can go through 3 months of being destroyed by his enemies while the sword would overtake him and God's people, or there would be a pestilence from the Lord for 3 days. And David said unto Gad, I'm in a great strait. But basically, he chooses to fall into the hand of the Lord 3 days of pestilence. For very great are his mercies, in verse 13, he says, but let me not fall into the hand of man. And verse 14 says, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Now, in verse 15, and I'm going to read it now in its entirety. God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. And it says, David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And God prayed this prayer to the Lord. And he said, is it not I, he was interceding, that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. David, in the role of an intercessor, stood as so many other godly men had done before and said, let the sin be on me. And verse 18 says, then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. This is just fascinating reading. And David went up to the saying, went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him, and they hid themselves. Ornan had been threshing wheat. And David came to Ornan. Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor, bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. And David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan the Jebusite said unto David, take it to thee. Let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also, for burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood and the wheat for the meat offering, I give it all. He basically said, oh, king, go ahead, let me give you all this. Go ahead, take it. I give it to you. And the king David said unto Ornan, no, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. Listen to what he said. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight, and David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he, this is the Lord, answered David from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offerings. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. Basically, the affliction of the people was ceased. And verse 28 says, at that time when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, that he sacrificed there. And I'm going to continue reading those next two verses. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season, in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. And then in verse 1 of chapter 22, then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for David. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. Do you see what's happening here? Praise God. The amazing thing, and I've shared this before from time to time, David did an astounding thing when he brought the Ark of God's presence into the tabernacle of David. That was by command of the Lord through Moses. Only the high priest could enter once a year into the holiest of holies, where the Ark was, and God moved upon David. He was moving prophetically, I believe, to show the New Testament example of believers who now can come into the very presence of God. You see, the blood Jesus had not shed his blood, and so the blood sacrifices had continued on Mount Gibeon. The priests were offering the daily sacrifices before the Lord, but the Ark of the God's presence wasn't there. David had taken it. David had it and the tabernacle of David. And so even though this was a moment in David's life where he had sinned, he had been self-reliant, he had taken things into his own hands, yet God, while a punishment was exacted, he still allowed good to come out of it. Because when David went to the place of Ornan's, the Jebusite, his threshing floor, that was literally the place that God chose to build his temple. And we see in chapter 21, verse 1, we see that when David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel," that David had learned his lesson. The temple, the very site of the temple, was chosen not by chance or by David's volition or will or whim, but by God's direct intervention. We see that God himself chose the place where the literal temple of God was to be built, which was begun in the time of David. But Solomon, he collected all the stones, the precious gems, and items to be used. But basically, it was built in the reign of his son, Solomon. So, beloved, you may have feel that you have failed God, even as David did, that you have been self-reliant, but God can turn it for good. You see, that's why sometimes he allows the devil to test us, and we may fall. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from that sin and all unrighteousness. But we learn, as David did, that we need to rely on the Lord. And in the moments that remain, let's just ask the Lord, Father, you see the lessons that David learned, and we ask, Father, that we would be so mindful and we would not fall under that same temptation to be self-reliant, but to turn to you for all things, the fulfillment of our heart's desires, not to make things happen on our own, but to look to you as Jehovah Jireh. We honor you and we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, there's still some things I'd like to share. We'll have to do that on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to tune in. The announcer will give our contact information now. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,